Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo. Look. Yo. Look. Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we bout to party, we bout to party. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing, and the freaks are coming out now.
Hey everybody, welcome to AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey here today. I'm four cups of coffee in, so it's going to be either a good day or a bad day, depending on your viewpoint. And we've got Mr. Energy Drink Man over here.
Two of them deep.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing all right.
Two of them deep.
Yep.
That's about the same as four cups of coffee, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, but it doesn't stain to my teeth.
Doesn't stain my teeth either. You just have to have good teeth hygiene. That's it.
Yikes. Okay.
I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway. I do know where I'm going with the rest of this interview. Today we've got giant guy that just casually steps in the ring over the top rope. We got Big Bill. How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent, guys. How are you? I got a big gulp this morning with caffeine-free Diet Coke, so I don't have as much caffeine as you guys.
That's okay. That's okay. We'll get you there. It'll be fine. I actually wanted to start this podcast off by saying congratulations. You and Lexi recently got engaged.
Oh, thank you very much.
I know. And she came to work after. Everyone, of course, is in the locker room, like looking at big ass ring on her finger and just like, oh man, this is the most Lexi ring we've ever seen. It was just so, so gorgeous. And on top of that, like, you two are just so wonderful together. I'm just so happy for the both of you. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's extremely exciting. And I wanted to do it in New York because New York has like a special place in our heart when it comes to Christmas time. So the ring's pretty nice. And I had some help picking it out. So it's not all me. But yeah, it definitely suits Lexi to a T.
So you did that. You proposed to her in New York?
Yeah, we at Rockefeller Center, each year since we've been dating, there's a little spot by the tree where no one really knows about, where no one even goes. And we've taken a picture there like every year since we started dating. So I wanted to do it in that spot. So I had her put her camera down. I don't know. She knows how to configure the camera so it snaps like pictures like that. And I had her put her camera down and she thought we were going to take a picture in front of the tree like usual. And I proposed. And
wow.
Yeah, it was really, really special day.
That's a great story.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
It's funny you said Lexi knows how to like set up the camera and stuff. She is like the one person backstage. She has like all of the special like lighting things for her phone and stuff. Yeah. Like she is a pro at cell phone photography. Like, very, very knowledgeable girl in that front. But kind of moving on a little bit, as exciting as it is for you and Lexi, and as excited we are for you guys, let's talk about some wrestling.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You've been tagging with Lee Moriarty. I think you guys had a couple matches recently on Dynamite, facing Jungle Hook. There was this amazing stare down in the match between you and Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Where he's like this little tiny guy behind the thing, and you're just this big looming presence. That was super awesome. What's it like teaming with Lee Moriarty?
It's been really fun. You know, I didn't know Lee very well before I got to AEW, but being a part of the firm and kind of chatting with him and getting to know him in terms of his wrestling opinions and how he sees things. And I really get along with him in that way. There's a lot of things that we have in common. Tagging with him has been fun. We've had, I think, like three matches together so far. Mm-hmm. And of course, having Stoke with us is always a very, very great addition. And the stare down at Dynamite, Jungle Boy was just kind of getting beat up and he was selling away towards the fans. And I had no idea that he was Chow from The Hangover was there. I was just kind of stalking him and following him. And he went to the barricade and I just thought it would be a random fan that I could taunt. And I looked up and it was him. I was completely taken off guard. It was like to the point where I was laughing because it was pretty crazy. I had no idea he was even going to be there.
I don't think any of us knew he was going to be there. I just thought that was what a moment that was. And what a moment it was when you kind of came in as MJF's mystery opponent for Wardlow back in May. Big pop when you arrived. Felt pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt really, really good. I hadn't been on TV, well, national television in many, many years.
Right.
I worked really hard to get back to where I've come from and to get back to where I am now from where I've come from. Put in a lot of hard work. And it was that was a really special night for me because Tony gave me the opportunity to come in. And I think I did really well. Mm. We had a really good match. And
agreed.
Yeah, that was a very, very special night for me because it was the culmination of a lot of hard work. It was really, really awesome to see AEW for the first time from, you know, the backstage perspective. And it was kind of an emotional night for me and Lexi for sure.
Right.
Just after that because of everything that we had gone through and everything leading up to that moment. So that opportunity was really, really special. Something I'll never forget.
Yeah, good reaction from everybody on social media, too. Great positive. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, even the week before when MJF was cutting his promo backstage, and he kind of alluded to the fact that it was going to be me, and I was nervous watching. I was like, oh, God, how are they going to react?
Right.
When he said, you can't teach that, and the fans, you could hear them in the building on TV, and they reacted very positively. So that was awesome.
I mean, of course they reacted positively. You've done some incredible things in this career, and last few years alone, and we'll get into that. Did you actually meet MJF and Wardlow before that day?
No, I'd never met either of them. There's so many people that I met for the first time that day, kind of because I was out of wrestling industry for a few years, so there's this whole new crop of talent and all these talented guys that were coming up and then became the stars they are now that I didn't really get to even mingle with beforehand. So I'd never met either of them before that encounter that day.
Damn.
They were both extremely nice to work with. It was a really, really fun day.
We're talking with Big Bill, or W. Morrissey, as we've called him on TV. Talk about, you know, you said it was a special moment for you to come back, and we're going to get into that. But you go to the AEW locker room. How's that been for you so far, being in there?
It's been really, really fun. Of course, when you first come in, it's like people are a little suspicious of you. I'm sure I just know that's how I would be when the new guy comes in. And
right.
You come in and you're kind of trying to feel everybody out. And there's a bit of a process there. It takes a few weeks, maybe a few months, but everybody's been super, super kind. Everybody's been accommodating any questions I ever have. Everybody's been really, really awesome. I really appreciate that because, you know, coming into a brand new locker room and professional wrestling can be not the easiest thing in the world. And it's gone by pretty smoothly. Yeah, I really appreciate everybody. And there's people in the locker room there that I know from years past, and that definitely doesn't hurt. Yeah, it's a very different atmosphere in AEW. It's fun, and for me, it's a very, very positive environment.
I haven't been in wrestling as long as some of the old farts in this business, like Tony Schiavone. It definitely seems like one of those things where you never really say goodbye to anyone. It's just, I'll see you later. Like, eventually you end up meeting back up with old friends and family that you hadn't crossed paths with in a while. So super exciting.
Yeah.
What's been the most enjoyable part of being at AEW so far?
Besides, you know, being able to travel with my fiance, which is a huge positive.
Huge.
The best part, man, it's just everybody's so accessible. I would say it's everybody's, you know, easy to talk to. Everybody's approachable, no matter how busy they are. Everybody kind of will go out of their way if you have some questions or you need some advice. And I not only do I see that from my perspective, I see it from a distance with other people. And I think that that's extremely helpful. And it creates a camaraderie and a team atmosphere, which in wrestling is very hard to create because it's, you know, dog eat dog and everybody, you know, wants to get to the top. But I feel like it's a team atmosphere in AEW, and that's something that I personally enjoy. I like to feel like I'm a part of something bigger and part of a process that everybody's working towards the same goal. So I feel like that's been the best part of being in AEW so far.
As a fan of wrestling, had you been watching much of AEW before you signed? Got a good idea of what was going on?
Yeah, I've been watching AEW since the first episode of Dynamite.
Right.
You ordered quite a few pay-per-views, and I hadn't been watching diligently, like all 2 hours every week for the past 2 years, three sure. years, but I was very familiar with the product, very familiar with everybody that's there. From a distance, it seemed like a place that I really, really wanted to go to, just because of what was being built, and kind of I could see from a distance how everybody is working towards the same goal, and it seemed like a team atmosphere from a distance, and that's something that I really wanted to be a part of.
Couldn't agree more. It just definitely feels like you're, as cliche as it is to say, like, feels like part of a family. Like, it really, really does. And I'm glad that comes across on the TV and that you're experiencing that as a talent backstage. It's super awesome.
Yeah.
We are talking to Big Bill here on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up, lots more to talk about.
This is AEW Unrestricted. We're talking to Big Bill. It's been quite a few years for you, but seeing where you are now and hearing the stories that you've talked about, kind of alluded to, really inspiring story. Bill, if it's okay, I want to read this tweet from April 2022. It said, in December of 2018, I publicly suffered a seizure from alcohol withdrawal in the 2300 arena. Tonight, I will stand in that same building on Impact as a new man with a new appreciation for life and all its blessings. Thank you, everyone. What did it feel like to be in that building again?
Very, very emotional. The last time I'd been in there, obviously, was for that House of Hardcore show in December of 2018.
Right.
I don't remember leaving the building. It was a very, very scary incident. You know, for me, it's not as scary because I experienced it, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. But from everybody I talked to, it was an incredibly scary situation. No one really knew what was going on.
Sure.
That kind of set the tone for where I needed to take my life in the next few years, because it was very apparent to me after that if I didn't clean up my act, it was very possible that, you know, I don't want to be morbid, but that, you know, I could pass away.
Right.
So that kind of set in motion a long process for me, a very rigorous process of, you know, getting sober and finding happiness. And at that point in my life in 2018, I didn't think I'd ever be happy. It was just a horrible time for me. Very depressing.
Damn.
Constantly anxiety, just all day long, and drinking very, very heavily, obviously. So I was very, very miserable. And to come back to that arena on that day as a totally different human being, almost, I would describe it. Extremely positive. So many blessings in my life, my health, my happiness. I'm, you know, sober. I'm peaceful. I have a great girlfriend in Lexi at the time. She was my girlfriend. And, you know, and I'm back in wrestling doing what I love more than anything in the world. And to have the opportunity to be back in wrestling in the best shape of my life, I think, you know, doing the best work of my entire career, I had to take it all in. Yeah, I did get emotional in the promo that night. It was a very, very special evening. And it was very positive looking forward, you know, thinking about all the positive blessings I had, but it was a good reminder of where things can go. And it was a good reminder of how badly things can get. So it was a really spiritual experience, I would say, for me.
It's hard to not get emotional, right?
Yeah.
You're a human being realizing you're going through all these things, and there's just this moment of, I did it. I've come this far. I've had the support. I've done it. And congratulations, man. That's takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I know that there are, like, we're proud of you. And I know there's a lot of people in the world that are very proud of you and the work you've put in.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And one of the things that comes with all of this and being in the public eye is sort of having the opportunity to share your story and knowing that that's so important and it's connecting with people. So what motivated you to be more open about it?
You know, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, he kind of was the one that pushed me in the direction of being open about it. Cause it's something that, you know, you want to hide, especially in sports or in wrestling, you know, it's very alpha mentality and you have to be tough. And those are things that, you don't want to admit to anybody, especially to your peers and the public. I don't think that that's very healthy. And I understand the mindset because I was in it, and to kind of keep that stuff to yourself. But it's extremely unhealthy to do that. It's always best to kind of speak up. And Dallas told me to maybe tell my story because it could help just one person, even if it helps just one person.
Right.
Why did I go through all this suffering for there to be no one to benefit? And that's kind of how I look at it now. I went through everything that I went through. And if I was to not share my story and not help anybody else, then what was it all for? It was all for naught. It was just a lot of suffering without a payoff, without a positive in the end. So I kind of look at the positive is me helping other people by sharing my story, giving them advice, helping them through it. That at least makes me feel like everything I went through was at least worth something. So being open about it was incredibly important to me. And like I said, in sports, especially you want to keep things to yourself. And that kind of set in motion for me this attitude now going forward of just being very honest. Because a lot of times when you're in the public eye, there's a lot of temptation to be dishonest or to not be entirely truthful with the fans. I think that was kind of the catalyst for me where I started just being very honest. And it feels very liberating to kind of be open and honest about everything.
Very well said. Very that DDP has been quite an inspiration for many people, hasn't he? I mean, he really has turned around a lot of people's lives. He has.
Yeah, he's you know, helped so many people, and he continues to help people. And there's a lot of people that you don't see that he's constantly helping. So the guy's doing the Lord's work, as some people say. So yeah. He's been a big part of my journey. And obviously I met Lexi through him. So that's
sure.
That's a huge positive too. So,
Big Bill returns Impact Wrestling Rebellion 2021. What did it mean to be back in a wrestling ring after being away for 18 months?
It was really, really special. I was supposed to go out there and be like all angry and whatnot, but I couldn't help but crack a smile. It was just good to be back in a big platform, a lot of fans watching, and it was a really good night for me. Extremely nervous, very cotton-mouthed, and was very, very nervous that whole day to be back in front of the public eye like that on a pay-per-view. Everybody there was extremely helpful. It felt really good. And again, it was just like that match with Wardlow, where it's kind of, you're looking at it very positively and you're looking at your accomplishment and you're saying, wow, this is really something great. But you're reminded of the past and how far you've come. And I think that that's really important for me is every time I achieve something or take a major step forward, I have to sit back down and just appreciate where I've come from. Because sometimes we overlook those things, or I overlook those things. And I think it's very important to kind of take a moment to yourself in quiet and shut off the Twitter and shut off TV, shut off music, whatever it is, and really reflect on the journey you've been on and how far you've come. So that was one of those moments for me.
You talked about your match with Wardlow and with the MJF tease that you were going to be there and this like very positive fan reaction, especially in the arena. But when you showed up at Rebellion, this is still like heart of the pandemic. And coming back to an empty arena, the pandemic era.
Yeah.
how hard is that after an 18-month absence?
That was really hard. I had never experienced anything like it. Even, shows when I was, in developmental years ago, there would at least be some of the talent in the audience. And when we did those in-house shows, there was literally nobody there. It was really hard to adjust. It was really hard to... when the fans are there, you get that instant feedback, that reaction. What you're doing, is it good? Is it bad? Right away. There was no instant feedback. And the weirdest part about it was during the match, I could hear the people behind the curtain, saying things on the headset. I could hear what was being said behind the curtain because it was literally that quiet in there.
Right.
That was surreal. That was like, this is so different, so weird. Yeah, that was incredibly interesting. But I'll never forget the hearing guys on the headset while in the ring on a pay-per-view. It was pretty crazy.
Does a lot for your concentration in the ring, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bill, how did the opportunity with Impact come about?
Because of Gallows,
yeah.
Doc Gallows. When I was trying to come back to wrestling, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. And he kind of really helped me in that beginning process to kind of get me to come back. And then he put me on one of his shows. And again, I was like, I don't know. I don't think the people are going to remember me. And he was like, you're out of your mind. They're going to definitely remember you.
Right.
And you know how we can get sometimes. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think the reaction is going to be that great.
Right.
Because they haven't seen me in so long. And the reaction when I came back on one of his shows was incredible. He went to Impact and he went to Scott and he said, I think you should give this guy a chance. Give him a shot. And then I started talking to Scott through Gallows. And then we agreed to fly me into Nashville that day at Rebellion. And We were kind of on a week-to-week basis, month-to-month. We were only doing it per appearance. Yeah, I guess I made an impression pretty quickly, and I got to be there for about a year, which was incredibly important for my development, especially coming back from a few years off.
Friggin' awesome. And all those people at Impact are just absolutely great. Every time I've been there, been hanging out with them, it's just everyone's so supportive and so wonderful, and I'm sure it was really positive experience for you. As much as those guys are nice, I think they were better, you know. Just a little side note there. While we're on the topic of Impact, early 2022, you had a tag team match with the Hardy Boys, which is kind of insane, especially knowing your background in tag team wrestling. So how did that match come together? What's it like being in the ring with the Hardys?
Yeah, the only other time I'd been in the ring with the Hardys was on a WrestleMania a long time ago when they came back in a ladder match. And that was my first time ever working with them.
Right.
Yeah, that was my first time ever working with them or ever meeting them, actually. That was, obviously, if you ever go back and watch the video, that was wild to be a part of that. It was absolutely insane. Yeah, Northeast Wrestling, Mike Lombardi, he booked some really, really great shows, independent shows. And he asked me if wrestling Hardys would be something I'm interested in. And I was like, you have to ask me that question. Yes, 100%. You tell me where and when, and I'll be there. And Mike Lombardi made it happen. And he put together that show for Northeast Wrestling. And that was really, really fun. It's a small gymnasium, maybe like 1,500 people, maybe 2,000, whatever it was. A lot smaller than 75 at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really cool. Got to take our time and have a lot of fun. And those guys are all, they're so great to work with. They're obviously, they're the freaking Hardy Boys. So they're awesome.
Right.
That was a fun, really, really fun match for sure.
Your fame came to a height in the WWE team with Enzo. You guys were more than just tag team partners to your very good friends. How far back does that friendship go?
Friendship goes back pretty far, I guess, to when we were teenagers.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, kind of just meeting as teenagers, kind of separating from there. And then when he came for his tryout with WWE, we reconnected. I was like, holy, I can't curse. Holy mackerel.
You can curse.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty crazy. And then he cut his promo in promo class, and I was like, man, I really hope they sign this guy because me and him could do something together. The rest is history, I guess, as they say. It was, I'd known him since maybe 14, 13, something like that. When I was 14 years old, okay. Playing basketball, we met a long, long time ago, but we reconnected in FCW, and that was quite a journey. But yeah, he's definitely still a very good friend of mine, and he's somebody I keep in contact with very frequently.
I know that was when you guys were teaming on NXT, that was right around the time that like I had started watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And just the chemistry that you guys had and how fun it was to watch the both of you was just one of my favorite parts of the show.
I appreciate that.
You guys were clearly having a good time. And I think we've touched on that kind of throughout this interview, that like the authenticity and not lying to the fans and just being kind of what you are and seeing that you two are having fun. It's like everybody sort of felt that.
Yeah, it's contagious. When you're having fun, the fans are having fun because they can see it. So the goal is to just go out there and things can get messed up or whatever happens, just have fun. And that will translate to the audience for sure.
As long as the fans are having fun and they feel good and they walk away with a positive impression, then you know you did your job.
Exactly. Yes.
Love it. We are talking to Big Bill on AEW Unrestricted. We could do just a complete full hour with the amount of fan questions we got, but we're going to somehow cut it off coming up here on the podcast, AEW Unrestricted. This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey talking to Big Bill about the amazing, amazing couple of years he's had in wrestling, coming back from the craziness that he had in his life and just the amazing person that he is. So happy that you're here today with us.
Thank you very much.
Got a lot of fan questions, so we'll get through as many as we can. We've got a question from Jason McLean. I'm actually curious about this. How did you choose the jeans and belt to wrestle in over trunks and tights?
Yeah, that was Jericho's idea a long time ago. I talked to Chris, had to be, you know, in 2019. He said, man, everything you did in WWE, the look, scrap it. He said, you got to do something brand new. And I was like, well, like what? And he was like, something brand new. He was like, I don't know what, but everything needs to change. I had always thought about wearing jeans and Timberland boots. I'd mentioned that to him and he said, we'll see if it works out. Right. But that's definitely different. I don't know. I really enjoyed wearing that. And I felt more confident wearing that. I felt more like myself again, being authentic, wearing trunks and those high boots. Like, it's not me, man. I just don't feel, for me, it just didn't feel right. So wearing jeans and Tims felt right. That's kind of, it started with Jericho kind of telling me to switch things up, and then the jeans and the Tims, and I felt organic to me. I was like, this is it. This feels right.
The next question comes out of Twitter from Joe Aguinaldo. Joe, hope we pronounced your name right, but here's your question. Big Bill's in the best shape that I've ever seen him in, says Joe. What is he doing in terms of workouts and diets?
Well, in terms of working out harder than I've ever worked out in my life. And I think a lot of times in the past, I had thought that I was pushing myself to the limit, thought that I was working as hard as I could. But looking back now, it wasn't even close to how hard I should have been working. In the gym, probably 5 days a week. I run on an incline every time I'm in the gym. That's good for shredding fat. And my diet is incredibly strict. No carbs, pretty much no carbs.
Wow.
Here and there. But yeah, a lot of protein, meat, vegetables, protein shakes. Yeah, kind of just, it's about that consistency is kind of, you keep compounding returns. Every day you do get 1% better, the next day 1% better. It's kind of just, to me, I realized the consistency for me is what's most important.
It's really, really crazy. And I think people don't see the work you're putting in. They just see the result and the amount of hard work that goes into something like that. Like taking one step back is actually not just one step back. It's like a couple, and then you got to start working back to where you were before you can work forward again. So good on you, man. Building those habits is so hard.
I explain it like going up, down escalator. So if you don't keep going, you're going to start coming back down. So if you don't keep moving forward, it's going to be incredibly hard to see positive results.
It's a brilliant analogy, and I don't know how I've never heard that before. It's like, Oh, no, that's absolutely what it is. We got a question from Joey Oberhoffner. Something I'm actually interested in knowing as well, just because everyone's kind of got their different techniques. But you had mentioned earlier, like, having, like, the anxiety and dealing with all of the mental struggles of going through what you did. Do you have any tips on, like, how to motivate you when you're defying that voice of, like, something telling you, like, it's going to be a bad day or you're going to have a hard time or just whatever's holding you back? Do you have any tips for overcoming those moments?
Yeah, well, so I always advocate for seeing, you know, a mental health professional. But in those moments, it's about being active. I was told in recovery early on, anxiety can't hit a moving target.
Mm.
You need to get out of bed and keep moving, because staying in bed or sitting on the couch or staying stationary is like the worst thing you can do. So you have to be moving constantly. And there's this thing called like the 5 second rule. If you think about doing something or something proactive and you don't get it done within the first 5 seconds, you're not going to do it. So you have 5 seconds to actually get up and do it. That really helped me. And it really is true. Once you get above five, once you get to 10 seconds, that's when your brain starts saying, you could just sit down. Within that first 5 seconds, if you're up, your money. But if you give it any longer, it's extremely likely that you're just going to stay seated and not do anything.
Damn.
That is tremendous.
Yeah.
Scott Webb wants to know, what was your time in WWE like? And can you compare it, you don't have to Impact and AEW's time?
I was a lot younger, a lot more immature, a lot more wound tight and stressed out all the time. It was a really, really obviously fun experience. It was my first taste of traveling a lot and being on the road and living out of a suitcase, which, you know, in the beginning is very exciting, but it gets old.
Wears on you.
Yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs, you know, especially being in NXT and being in developmental for 5 years and doing blow up drills every day and then, you know, setting up the rings at the shows. And That's a lot of the hard work, I guess, that people don't see either, is especially that hard work that goes in before the shows, setting up rings and driving to the shows. And there were a lot of times that I struggled, but making it to, you know, the main roster was, it made everything worth it. And that travel schedule, and it starts to wear on you. And it was a very, very hefty travel schedule. But my time there was, I would overall say, it was pretty great. There's obviously any time you can pick negatives. And in comparison to AEW, again, my opinion, I don't know. I'm fairly new to AEW, but
right,
it's a lot more, even though it's live television, it's a lot more laid back.
Yeah.
A lot more breathe easy. Not so much walking on eggshells. And I think we as talent tend to do that to ourselves in certain environments. You know, I think, like I was saying before, with the team atmosphere, the camaraderie, everyone willing to help, not feeling like everyone's gunning for your spot, you can breathe a lot easier. And I feel like that, you know, creates some fluidity. And it's nice to be a lot more relaxed nowadays.
It's definitely nice. I tend to ask the extras whenever they're there, like, how you feeling? They're like, it's actually like way more chill than I thought. Cause I think it just kind of calms everyone down once they realize it's like, no, you're good, man.
Yeah.
Just for hang
sure.
out, have fun. If wrestling's not fun, why the fuck are we doing it? Right.
Yeah. Why are we beating up our bodies if we're not having fun?
Exactly.
It just becomes a paycheck then. And that sucks. That would suck.
You're just dropping nuggets today. I'm going to have to go back and like write all these down on a freaking pad that I look at every morning and just go 5 second rule going up the down escalator.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. 5 second rule.
Just like 5 second rule. Like when you drop food on the ground, like that's where my head went.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man.
Got a question from Dennis Dirty Work. Are there any particular like big men or even average size men wrestlers that you sort of fashion yourself after? And second part of the question, are there any people in the back that you seek advice from?
Yeah. So in terms of who do I try to model myself after, who do I watch? You know, obviously Undertaker and Kevin Nash are two big ones for me. Another one that I would say is Brock is a big one just because how real it feels when he's in there. Like,
right.
That's an element that I think in terms of, this is just my opinion, when in terms of in-ring, I think the most important thing a talent or an upcoming talent can work on or have is convincing the viewer that what you're doing is real to you. Like you are just so in the, I don't know how to explain it, that intensity, that drive, that hard work. Brock's a big one for me. Like I said, Nash and Undertaker. And the people in AEW that I kind of get advice from would be Paul White, Big Show. He obviously was an influence on me, you know, in WWE also. So I have that connection. Jericho is a big one. Moxley, you know, I used to room with him way back in the day in FCW. So we've been good friends since then. So he's another one that I always go to for advice. And Christian's another guy that I ask for advice a lot of the time. And as of late, Taz, I've been talking a lot to Taz and yeah, he's been helping me out quite a bit. So those would be the people backstage at the, that I outwardly seek advice from.
I love Taz.
Yeah.
Taz is a special person, brother. Wow.
Just see you cracking yourself up there in your chair, Tony, like as soon as Taz gets mentioned.
Yeah, when you said Taz's name, it was like, well, okay. I get it, though. I get it. Taz does give a lot of good advice. He really does.
Yeah.
RJ wants to know, this is kind of a loaded question. Think about this. What do you hope to accomplish in AEW? And what do you wish to accomplish before your wrestling career is over?
Wow. In AEW, I would like to have a singles run. I would like to really add to my body of work and really have, you know, a lot of good or very good or great singles matches to kind of add that. Because like we said before, you know, the tag team matches are definitely in my repertoire already. I would like to have some really good feuds, some really good singles matches to add to my body work and to kind of show that I, as big as I am, I could still move very well. I think that's something that I really take pride in, is that as a big guy, I'm fluid and light on my feet. And I'd like to a good amount of singles feuds and really great matches. And obviously, I'd like to win the AEW world title. I mean, if you're not there to do that, then what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. If you're not shooting for the top, then I don't know what the hell you're doing. And then by the end of my career, man, that's a really good question. You know what? I would say the ultimate goal for my career, there's so many things you can accomplish, but I think the ultimate goal would be to be memorable. Because I think there's a lot of champions in the past. There's tag champions, world champions that people don't really remember. There's been title reigns that people don't remember, but I want to be somebody that's memorable. So for whatever it is I do, whatever it is that I accomplish, to be memorable, I would like for people to always remember me. So that would be my ultimate goal.
Okay, just another nugget I got to write down. There you go. This has been great, man.
Thanks.
Got a question from Susie Sue. I desperately need hair care tips. Your hair is glorious. Can you share your secrets?
Yeah, I only condition it like once a week. Shampoo it like twice a week. I let it air dry. I never use a blow dryer. I guess those would be the only tips that I have because that's all I really do. But yeah, just wash twice a week, condition once a week, and never, ever use the blow dryer. That's one of my rules.
Heat'll destroy it.
Yeah, yeah.
You may have answered this, but we'll see. Anyway, Team Becky Girl, who was your wrestling idol growing up?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. It started out as Bret Hart, and then I went to an event, Survivor Series in the Garden, 96. All the cool kids, as I say, were rooting for Austin. That kind of made me an Austin fan. I wanted to be cool. So growing up, Stone Cold Steve Austin would be the idol that I have. And I got a chance to meet him and do his podcast. And that was pretty surreal for me.
Question from John. I know we've talked about sort of wrestling styles and whatnot, but what or who is your inspiration for being such an intimidating heel?
Man. I try to really emulate Brock in terms of the intensity, Undertaker with the intensity. But in terms of being a heel, you know, JBL's a guy. There's something about JBL, you know, that 2004, 2005 JBL where he's just such an asshole, dude. So I do kind of emulate him quite a bit. Yeah. And a lot of times it's movie characters and TV characters that I try to emulate because, you know, in wrestling, it's all, not that it's all been done. It's a lot of things have been seen, a lot of styles, a lot of promos have been done. So I try to really kind of steal, I'd almost say, from characters on TV shows that I watch, and the real pieces of shit, that those are the guys when I watch them, I'm like, that's who I want to be.
Yeah.
Like the dude from the Shawshank Redemption, the warden, that guy, try to emulate that guy because he is such a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's what makes movies great. The heels that you really want them to get them in the end, right? I mean, you just really say, got to get that son of a bitch.
Yeah, when you really feel inwardly like you really, really hate the guy. Yeah. And he's on a TV screen and you know it's being filmed and you know that it's not real, but you all get right. That emotion stirred up inside of you. That's a really good heel makes a TV show. I agree.
Absolutely. Have you ever watched The Mayor of Kingstown?
I have not watched that. Mayor Kingstown.
That's Jeremy Renner. But there's a bad guy in there named Milo.
Okay.
Who also played Littlefinger in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
What a great heel. It's one of those guys you want to see him just slam the door in his head.
What's the name of that show again? I got to write that down.
The Mayor of Kingstown.
The Mayor of Kingstown. Okay, cool.
It's on Paramount.
Cool.
Great, great heel. Well, anyway, with that in mind, great baby face behind the scenes and a good guy, Big Bill. Great baby face for many reasons. Number one is he's a New York Yankees fan.
That's right.
And we appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate you being with us. It's great having you backstage. It really is.
Oh, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bill, you're at TheCazXL. Is that right? On Instagram and Twitter?
TheCazXL, but I am currently in the process of switching it over
to
a Big Bill handle. I'm still trying to nail one down. But TheCazXL right now is my handle.
You got it.
Yeah.
There we go. Breaking news, he's going to be changing his Instagram and Twitter handle soon.
Yes.
Always a big step when it's like, oh my God, it worked. Yeah, it actually worked.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today, man. You could follow and listen to this podcast. New episodes every Thursday. AEW Unrestricted free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can check out the video episodes on our YouTube channel. Just search AEW Unrestricted, that little box with the magnifying glass. You can watch Dynamite on TBS Wednesdays, Rampage on TNT Fridays, Dark on Tuesdays, Dark Elevation on Mondays, both of those on YouTube. I am Aubrey Edwards with my wonderful friend Tony Schiavone. Thank you so much for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing in the